to Genesis chapter 43. Genesis chapter 43. Genesis 43. Last week we watched as nine of Joseph's brothers left Egypt heading back to Canaan and their father Jacob. Their brother Simeon was being held until their return, and these men had the job of telling their father exactly what had happened during their trip to Egypt. When they reached the spot to rest for the night, one of the brothers realized the money he had given for the grain was still in his bag. It was later revealed that all of the brothers had their money in their bags as well, and could have been considered guilty of stealing from the Egyptian ruler if they did not return to Egypt and at least try to give the money back to the ruler. They had told this leader that they were honest men, and Joseph was testing to see if they had changed, if they truly were honest men. Jacob soon learned upon their return that Simeon was held prisoner, and the request of the Egyptian ruler made for his release. And Jacob absolutely refused. Nope, you're not going back and you're not taking Benjamin. When we finished our study of chapter 42, we saw that God was going to have to intervene if Jacob's decision was going to be changed. Tonight, we're going to see God intervene. He always does, doesn't he? God always has a way. So let's look at chapter 43, Genesis 43. Now, the famine in the land was severe. When they had used up the grain they had brought back from Egypt, their father said to them, "Go back and buy us some food." But Judah said to him, "The man specifically warned us, 'You will not see me again unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother with us, we will go down and buy food for you. But if you will not send him, we will not go.' For the man said to us, 'You will not see me again unless your brother is with you.'" Judah was pretty emphatic with his dad, wasn't he? Wasn't playing around. Verse 6. "Why did you cause me so much trouble?" Israel said. Now, y'all know Israel is really who? Jacob. Who changed his name? God. That's exactly right. Y'all paying attention. That's good. "Why did you tell the man that you had another brother?" They answered, "The man kept asking us about us and our family. Is your father still alive? Do you have another brother?" And we answered him accordingly. "How could we know that he would say, bring your brother here?" Then Judah said to his father Israel, "Send the boy with me. We will be on our way so that we all may live and not die, neither we nor you nor our children. I will be responsible for him. You can hold me personally accountable if I don't bring him back to you and set him before you. I will be guilty before you forever. If we had not wasted time, we could have been back twice by now." Then their father Israel said to them, "If it must be so, then do this. Put some of the products of the land in your packs and take them down to the man as a gift. Some balsam and some honey, some aromatic gum and resin, pistachios and almonds. Take twice as much money with you. Return the money that was returned to you and the tops of your bags. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back at once to the man. May God Almighty cause the man to be merciful to you so that he will release your other brother and Benjamin too. As for me, if I am deprived of my sons, then I'm deprived." Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for tonight. We ask you to forgive us of our sins and where we fail you. Lord, we've come to study your word tonight. So, Lord, I pray that you would give us enlightenment beyond ourselves, Lord, that we might be able to see exactly what this scripture's saying. And Lord, even greater, help us to see what it's saying to us individually. The Bible is applicable to us in the day that we live in, even Old Testament Scripture. And we need to see ourselves in this Scripture where we are, Lord, each one of us tonight. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. The last thing I said before I read the Scripture was, tonight we're going to see God intervene. Y'all do realize that God does things in His time that sometimes we don't agree with. God does things in His time that we might not like. But God always has a way of getting our attention, does He not? One of my favorite old-time spiritual songs is, maybe God is trying to tell you something. There's many times in our lives where things happen to us or circumstances take place or you might get in trouble with your parents or you might get in trouble with a school teacher or they might say something to you. Listen, we need to step back and ask, okay, God, what is it that you're trying to teach me? What is it that you're trying to tell me? Because as you've heard your preacher say many times, our ways are not God's ways and God's ways are not our ways. And generally, when something takes place that ruffles, we need to step back and say, hey, okay, what am I supposed to be learning here? I have to tell you, when I was first entered the ministry, there were many times that I'd come home and I'd be unbelievably frustrated. And God knew what He was doing when He gave me this woman, because she had wisdom beyond, and she still does, scriptural wisdom that's beyond me. I'll admit that, and I'm not ashamed to admit that. She knows more about the Bible probably than I do, and I'm her pastor. But she would look at me and she'd say, and Steve, sometimes I just didn't want to hear this. I just wanted to be mad. I mean, don't you just want to be mad sometimes? Steve, you were in the ministry. You just come home and somebody, you just want to be mad. And she'll say, what is it you think God's trying to teach you? Why do you have to bring God into it? You know, what is it that God's trying to teach? And God is constantly trying to teach us something. Each one of our lives. Until we take our last breath, we need to realize that God's trying to tell us something. God's trying, and it's really not so different from what you would hear if you held your ear back up to the Old Testament. If you hold your ear up to the Old Testament, what does it say to you, the Old Testament? Return to me. Return to me. All God wants is a closer walk with you, every single one of us. Now, tonight, we see Jacob. Jacob, he's distraught. He's a mess. He's going to have to make a decision. And he's not wanting to make the decision. Matter of fact, listen, how many of y'all have ever done this? I've put my foot down, this is the way it's going to be, and I'm not going to change my mind. Y'all have done it. Y'all ever done that before? Oh, I have too. I've put my foot down many times with Amy. I've said, this is enough. This is the line right here. She done crossed that line, and this right here is going to happen. This is where it's going to be, right here. And y'all know where I wound up sticking that foot, don't you? Right in my mouth. Sure enough. Jacob has made a decision. We're not going back. This is the way it is. I'm done. Until God intervened. So what do we see in our scripture tonight? Now, there is something that's seen that's not seen, and we're going to talk about it secondly. But the first thing that we see tonight is that all the grain that had been brought back home with them on their first trip to Egypt was now, guess what? It's gone. It's gone. Now, we can see in Scripture, we try to figure out, okay, how long had it been? How long, you know, from the time they left to the time they got back, how much grain did they use, this, that, and the other? And we don't have a clue. We do have a clue in Scripture when, hold on, let me find my place. When Judah looks at him and says, look, had you not held us up, we could have gone back and forth twice. But how long did it take them to go from Egypt, from Canaan land to Judah? Some scholars they have different ideas, but it wasn't a real, real long period of time. I mean, it wasn't 6 months. It didn't take that long to get there. If you look at the map and we were in a car, it probably, I don't know, it'd probably take 10, 12 hours. By donkey, probably, Steve, would you say, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks maybe? So in this short period of time, maybe 6 weeks, the grain is gone. It's gone. Now, again, we don't know how much time has transpired, but we can probably assume that these men, being that they lived off the land, they knew full well how to make food last. They had rationed the grain as long as they possibly could before making need of another trip. Knowing what we do from Jacob's response last week, I am very sure, very confident, that Jacob's thought, his hope, would be that they never have to return to Egypt ever again. Now, there's something in that that we're going to talk about next that doesn't make sense, but I really believe that Jacob, in his thought, that's fine, you know, we aren't going back to Egypt. We don't have to worry about it. But there's something wrong there. Now, what's wrong? What's going on here? This is what's wrong. Knowing that Simeon had been in jail for an undisclosed period of time until the very last second, making sure that there was no doubt that they were gonna have to return for more food. Now, I wonder what it was that Simeon had done in his life or to his father Jacob, that Jacob did not care to go sooner and have his son released from prison. Simeon had really done, from what we can see, nothing to be in prison for any length of time, and certainly had not as long as he had been. But Jacob did not feel compelled to get him out of jail for some reason. Now, understand with me here for a second. I, just like I'm sure some of you, I have told my children from a very early age, when they started, you know, getting old enough to making decisions for themselves, and you know how we allow our children to make decisions. But as we see them making decisions that sometimes aren't real bright decisions, you know, we'll take that opportunity to let them know, I want you to understand something. If you ever find yourself in jail, don't waste your dime calling daddy. Right? Any of y'all ever heard that before? Abby, did your dad told you that? Now, Glenn, you're serious, aren't you? Look at him. I mean, you don't know really what you're going to do until it happens. And I pray, hope and pray none of y'all, it does happen. But here's my theory, that if I have a child who is in jail and it's not their fault, and I'm not saying I'm one of those parents, well, it's not my baby's fault, my baby didn't. No, but I'm talking about if they go somewhere overseas and they're in prison because they're an American or they're, you know, they're a Christian, I'm going to do everything I possibly can as a father to get them out. I will. I'll petition the governor and whoever, and politicians. I'll try and get a meeting with the president to get my child out of prison. I'll do everything I possibly can. But if they've done something that is just absolutely stupid, if they're somewhere they shouldn't have been, they got themselves in trouble, I'll smuggle them in a carton of cigarettes or something they can buy, sell, and trade, and I'll put some money. You know, they have these stores there where you can buy chips and drinks and stuff like that, little canteen. I'll put some money on their account there, but they're rotten in jail. I'm not going to get them out. I'm not going to pay for a lawyer. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me, woman. See that? I mean, it's not happening. I'm not going to do it. Well, what are you talking about here, Brother Kyle? Listen, Jacob left his son in jail. Did y'all see that? How long? I don't know. But you know those boys came back and they were in the same cell with him. And you know old Joseph. I can guarantee you he put him in the nastiest, stinkingest hole in that place because they had done what they had done to him. It was in the bottom basement, Dan. I mean, there were probably rats and nasty, and I mean, just stunk. And I bet they didn't have a commode and they didn't have cable TV like the Georgia prisons, right? It was nasty. And they came back and they told their dad the conditions of where Simeon was. And Jacob was just like, oh, well, exactly. Oh, well, you remember that sermon, don't you, Brandy? Did you say that? Did you say? Becky, you remember that sermon, don't you, Becky? He didn't care. So you have to equate. You have to think. Jacob or Simeon must have done something in his life that his daddy was just like, oh, well, I guess he deserves it. Let him rot. I'm not going back. Either that, or he was so adamant that he was not going to have his other son taken from him, from his favorite wife, that I'm absolutely not. You're not going back. So one of the two played into it, but the fact is, he used all the food that he possibly could, the essentials, before he sent them back. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, why did he wait? What could he possibly have waited to the very last second? They were about out of food. Scripture tells us they were about out of food. We don't know what time of year it was. Does anybody see what time of year it was? No. It could very well be that they had planted crops. And by the time they came back, you know, maybe the crops were starting to come up out of the ground. A little bit of dew came on the ground. Those of you who farm, you know, you put seeds in the ground, and there's still a little bit of moisture in the ground, especially with like butter beans or field peas, and they'll come up out of the ground. But if it doesn't rain, what do? They wither up and die. As soon as they get up out of the ground, about like this, they'll wither up and die. Brother Kyle, how do you know? Because I've planted butter beans and field peas. I know. Could be that they had some food and they were going to wait, and the very last second, Jacob looked out over that field and the field was gone. It was dry. It was decimated. It was very evident that the famine was going to persist, and they didn't have any other choice but to do the very thing that Jacob didn't want to do, and that's go back to Egypt. Now, we see at the end of verse 43 that a time had come, or the time had come when Jacob was uneasy over seeing what was left of their supplies, seeing that the famine was not relenting. He, as the head of his house, made the orders or made the decision to go back to Egypt and get more food. Did y'all see that? That was his decision. Not, okay, listen, we need to go back and get your brother. Your brother's been in jail long enough. Did y'all see that? No. His concern was to go back and get food. So here again, you've got to ask the question, right? Simeon's up there saying, guys, you know, he's probably pacing the floor. What in the world has taken so long? Why haven't y'all come back for me? What have I done? What in the world is my dad thinking? I have got to get out of this place. But he's not coming until now. Now we see in verse 3 through 5 that the brother Judah gives his father the terms and conditions for them to go back to Egypt. And if Jacob will not meet these requirements, they would not go back at all. Now, look at verse 3. Verse 3 says this. He says, but Judah said to him, the man specifically warned us. Now, y'all, I have to wonder. When this conversation was taking place, I wonder if God was just looking down and kind of snickering. Because Joseph knew exactly who they were, but still to this point, Craig, they did not know that Joseph, the ruler, the authority who had done all this to them, that was their brother, did not know. And God was just sitting there like, guys. But Judah says this, the man specifically warned us, you will not see me again unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother with us, we will go down and buy food for you. But if you will not send him, we will not go. For the man said to us, you will not see me again unless your brother is with you. Now, guys, listen. My dad came to this church, didn't he, before he died? Deborah, he was here, wasn't he? I wasn't afraid of my dad when I was, when I was away from home. But I'll tell you this. My dad never played fair. He didn't. And when I got old enough to where, I could take him, and he realized that I could take him, I'll never forget, we were on the front porch of my house in TK, and he tried to push me down the stairs, and I grabbed a hold of him, and I let him know that I could throw him down the stairs, and I put him back up. But this is what I want to tell you. I didn't sleep in that house that night. Do you know why? Because Daddy didn't play fair. You see, he told me when I was a kid, he said, one of these days you're going to be able to take me. He said, son, and he opened up the door, and he said, but you can't take me and that stick right there. And I believed him. If I would have been saying what is being said by Judah to his dad, I'd have had to say it. Because it was the truth, right? It was the truth. He said, they said, the ruler said, unless we bring, we no need for us to come back. I'd have been doing this right here. Dad, listen, I'm just telling you, we ain't going back unless Benjamin goes with us. Now, we'll go back with him, but unless we have him with us, we ain't going back. Judah's firm here. Y'all remember the conversation that Reuben had with him? He said, look, you know, count it all on me. May I be guilty and may I be cursed for the rest of my life. Do y'all see what's happening here? Do you see something? Well, you will here in a second. As we consider verse 3, it seems as if these brothers had some sort of mark on their heads, that Joseph had told those under his authority that these men are to deal with me and me alone. They couldn't just go up there and deal with anybody. You're to deal with me and me alone. The way Judah words his remarks to his father makes the reader believe that they could not go to any other line or ask help of any other person. It looks like they would have be known and not helped by anyone other than Joseph. Judah is very emphatic with his father when he tells him that they would not go as long as they could not take Benjamin with them. They would not even consider going without him. Now, we see the turmoil in Jacob's life in verse 6 as he blames what is happening on the brothers. That's what we do, don't we? When something happens in our life, listen, I've got a family member, they ain't never done anything wrong. It's always somebody else's fault. Anybody, can I get a testimony? Can I get a witness? It's always somebody else. Becky, why are you doing this right here? It's never their fault. But we see in verse 6 that he blames what is happening on the brothers, not knowing that God is at work and has allowed the circumstances around him to take place for a reason. And that those very circumstances that are causing him so much pain are going to soon give him so much joy. Well, how in the world are they going to give him joy? He thinks Joseph's dead. He has grieved. He is still grieving over the death of his son. But he's going to have joy through these circumstances. More joy than he has experienced in his life in over 20 long years, thinking his son was dead. Now, how do we look at circumstances that cause turmoil in our lives? Let me ask that question again. How do we look at circumstances that cause turmoil in our lives? And you look for somebody to blame, right? Isn't that what we do? Could it be that the very circumstances that are causing you so much pain will one day bring you more joy than you have experienced in many years? It could be. Could be. And again, this God's not on our timetable. Jacob had thought his son was dead for 20 years. Can you imagine thinking? Now, my sister, she died in 1999. Golly, 20 years. In October, it'll be 20 years. And it's still it's still very fresh with me, how she died and how I was with her hours before she died. But if I came to the office tomorrow and I walked in and do as I normally do, what do when I usually walk in the front door, Becky? I'll holler, I'll say, hey, Becky! And Mandy walks out of the women's bathroom. Y'all, I'm going to have a fit. I'm going to have to take some days off. Why? Because I was there. I mean, I saw her. She was dead. Now, Jacob didn't see his son, but I mean, he's gone through the same process that I have. Anybody who's lost somebody, gone through for 20 years, 20 years. And he's getting ready to have the time of his life. Now, Judah answers his father as to why they gave so much information to this ruler Joseph in verse 7. This is what Judas said. He said, we told him all. We did this because he was so relentless, asking us question after question after question about our family. We then hear Judah bartering with his dad in verses 8 through 10, saying that if If we do not return with Benjamin, we can put all the, you can put all the blame on me. I will be guilty before you forever. Church, we don't know if Judah had heard Reuben's request earlier that we read a couple weeks ago. But we now have two brothers who feel the hurt of their father, and they are full ready to play their part in their father's healing. They knew that what they had done to hurt him, and now they want to do everything they can to heal their father. They are now willing to suffer the way he has to make things right. Church, listen, it sounds like God has these men's hearts ripe and ready for true repentance. You see, God has to open our eyes to who we really are before we're really ready to repent. Am I right? That's why you hear me say so often when we're praying, God, open our eyes that we might see ourselves the way you see us. Because until we can see ourselves the way God sees us, we're not going to repent for anything. I'm right, you're wrong. Hey, listen, we'll blame anything and everybody, and won't we? That's who we are. It's human nature, and it's what we're seeing tonight. Jacob wants to blame the brothers. And in all actuality, the brothers had done something. But God was going to have to get their attention. Now we see in verse 11 that the family did have some food. Y'all remember last week I talked about, you know, there was a little bit of food. There was some food that was non-essential that had been grown in that area. Jacob tells his sons to take some of those food items and to give to the ruler, and it may appease him of his anger for them for a while. He then tells the brothers to take twice as much money with them and pay back what was sent home with them. And then he said, take Benjamin with you. Now, hold on a second. What happened? Y'all saw Jacob put his foot down, didn't you? You saw him put his foot down and say, I'm not going any further. That's not going to happen. But then all of a sudden, we see Jacob saying, and take Benjamin with you as well. Now, we're not certain what God did to change Jacob's heart. If it was just the thought of not having enough food to survive, if Simeon being in jail was now starting to take place in the mind as a factor in the mind of Jacob, or if Jacob just finally realized that what we all need to realize, and that we can trust God in the toughest of times. Now, church, I have to admit that this is hard for even me to do at times. I try to fix every single one of my problems that lies in front of me until I realize that I can't fix it. Isn't that what we do? We try to fix everything and everybody until we realize I can't fix this problem. And then I'm forced to do what God desires me to do from the very beginning. Trust Him. He's got it under control. Church, there are things right now in my life. Listen to me. There's things right now in my life I can't fix. I cannot fix them. Y'all want me to tell you one of them? I can't fix my mom. My mom turned 76 years old last month. And she is just strong-willed and just pig-headed. She can barely walk at times. Her back's messed up. She's had surgery to fix a sciatic nerve on both sides of her legs. She walks around all day long with a TENS unit on. Y'all know what TENS unit? Shocking her. Until the batteries run out and she puts more batteries in all day long. She wears the medical alert around her neck. Sometimes I'll go to her house and knock on the door and I'll trick her. I won't tell her I'm coming, Angie. And I'll get there and guess what? Mama doesn't have her medical alert on. And I'll get on her about it. Well, what needs to happen is she needs to move closer to us, or to either me or to memory, but she won't do it. She loves her independence. Well, what's going to have to happen? God's going to have to intervene. You know why? Because your pastor can't fix that. Cannot fix it. I mean, there's nothing I can do. I've tried. I can't fix it. You know what I have to do? Say it again, Dan. One more time. I've got to trust God. Is that hard? Yeah. Trust God. Now, remember why I asked you about the song Verse 14 seems to tell us something that has taken place in Jacob's life. Not sure about exactly what it is, but let's read verse 14 again. Verse 14 says this: "May God Almighty cause the man to be merciful to you, so that he will release your other brother and Benjamin to you. As for me, if I am deprived of my sons, then I'm deprived." Frank Morgan, did you hear that? Does that sound like to Jacob a few sentences ago? Now, does this verse remind you of a song that we used to sing all the time in the church? We sing this song sometimes here at this church. We sang it tonight. That song is well with my soul. Now, you can almost sense a peace in the life of Jacob, a peace that can only be present when you have given your problems to God, knowing that He is in control. If I am to be deprived of my sons, I'm to be deprived. Sounds like you had a prayer meeting with God, doesn't it? It really does. Now that you know the lessons from this message, what will you do when you are... Did I say if? No. Now that you know the message tonight, what will you do when you are faced with a problem that you know you can't fix? Hey, listen, it's probably going to happen this week. Y'all know that, right? Something's going to happen. You can't fix it. There's nothing humanly you can possibly do to fix it. What are you going to do? Will you trust God that God has all things under His control? Will you stop and think that maybe, just maybe, great joy will come from the awful circumstances that you are currently facing? God has it under control. Church, God is in tomorrow making a way for us right now, and there's no sun out. God's got this, if we'll allow Him to have it. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, as we come to You tonight, we ask You again to forgive us of our sins and where we fail You. We ask that You would be with us during this time of invitation. God, show us tonight. Help us to see ourselves the way You see us, that we might be greater servants for You. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this evening?